All right, welcome back to the Sidious Mag podcast. I'm Chris Chavez.
I'm Kyle Merber.
And I'm David Melly.
On this week's show, we are recapping everything that went down last weekend in Boston, in New York, in Washington, in Arkansas. So much happening. Records falling left and right. It was track was back in full force, and we were there to bring you interviews, analysis, and now here comes our commentary. But first, we got to plug our sponsors. Many thanks always to Olipop for supporting the show. I've got Tropical Punch on my hands. Kyle, what do you got?
I'm working with some strawberry vanilla.
Is that your favorite flavor?
It's my first time having it.
Really? So give us a quick review.
I didn't know what to expect with the vanilla, but you definitely taste some vanilla in there. It's really nice. Favorite flavor, though, I think I still give the nod to like orange or grape. It kind of brings me back to like the days of drinking orange soda as a child. And that is something I've not done in 20 years.
Well, we've got some really good news for the listeners is that when you use code Sidious25 at drinkolipop.com, you get 25% off your orders. But we've got some new stuff coming down late a couple weeks from now on Olipop's website. They've got the new lemon lime flavor and banana cream flavors are going to be added. And I think they're slowly starting to make their way into Whole Foods now. So keep an eye on those. I can't wait to try them.
So, I am a huge like Sprite 7-Up guy. And so I'm pretty excited about the lemon lime. No idea what to expect on banana cream.
Yeah,
that one's a wild card, but sign me up for lemon lime for sure. Also, like Olipop sangria with lemon lime sounds pretty darn good.
I am loving that we've coined it the runner soda, and now people are tagging us on social as it. We made that up. We did not run it by Olipop Legal.
And it's working. So if you're drinking an Olipop, be sure to tag us in your Instagram stories. Tag drink Olipop. Again, use code Sidious25 for 25% off non-subscription orders. But also, we're partnering with New Balance this month. We will be at the New Balance Indoor Grand Prix this upcoming weekend. They just dropped their new Fuel Cell SC Elites. So I've got my pair here. I still haven't worn them. They're also, I mean, the colorway is just amazing. So I'm looking forward to taking these babies out for a spin. You can get your
pair. I did my workout about an hour ago in the Gen 2 of those, and they're getting worn out. So I'm going to need to get another pair.
All right. We'll put in a good word for you. So you
I think I got those a while ago, Chris. You only just got them? That's crazy.
Well, so they had the New York City Marathon colorway, and now this is like the February 1st was the big drop. So check them out at newbalance.com.
I think they sent me mine right before they sent you yours.
Kyle's got the in. Kyle's a New Balance fave.
So, you know, after I wear my New Balance shoes for a workout, I'm obviously going to throw on my Velus recovery slippers, which is what I've got on right now.
This is such a visual podcast so far.
Yeah, I'm so good working in all the different sponsors. Velus is an active recovery footwear brand designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. I actually pack these with me when I go to the armory, and I throw them on for like the 10 seconds I'm just kind of hanging out, and then I have to put on shoes to go to the subway station. But I love them. They do the trick after a hard workout. Get 20% off using code SidiousMag20 at checkout. You got to make sure that the C and the M are capitalized in that code. So that is Velus. And I think my ring light is a little high on. I might have to keep these Gooder sunglasses
on. Oh my God. How many sponsors do we have?
We are at 4 for this episode. Gooder, say goodbye to active summer glasses that don't stay in place. Upgrade to Gooder's 100% polarized, stylish, and affordable glasses. They're $25 a pair. Visit gooder.com/sidious for free shipping and check out all of their styles. I love these. I'll be
rocking them. Also, shout out to Gooder. In a year of, you know, rampant inflation, those babies have been $25 for like the last decade. They are nothing if not consistent. They're like the Arizona iced tea of running sunglasses.
Or the Olipop of
oh yeah, the, sorry.
The Costco hot dog.
The Costco hot dog.
All
until
right,
you get a hot dog sponsor, then Chris will have to cut that out.
Speaking of.
Yeah, Nathan's. No, All right, let's get into this weekend's action. David Miller, you were our boots on the ground in Boston. It got off to a really hot start with Creighton Carrazza from Texas running a pretty fast 800. And that was like even before, you know, a lot of people showed up for basically the 3Ks and the 5Ks on Friday night were going to be the marquee items. But it was once again proving to be that BU's track is going to be a hot destination for runners. And so really, I guess, David, take us through that evening. How loud did it get in there and how magical was it?
It's funny that you say that, because that was actually one of the things that stuck with me was, you know, last year there were still the COVID protocols had folks limited to coaches and athletes in BU. And, you know, that's still a lot of people for some of these big meets, but it's not quite the same as having it packed with fans. And when Woody set the American record, I tried to get like a little clip of it up on the city's Twitter page, but I actually caught like the tail end of it. The place went wild in a way that like only indoor track can provide. You know, outdoor obviously is super fun because it's the big stadiums and the, you know, larger atmosphere, but the contained nature of indoor track just makes those moments so cool. And, you know, obviously everyone always talks about, you know, the excitement of sub-4 at BU and how the crowd gets super into it. And inevitably someone runs 401 and you hear the like, but it's like, that's that to me, like I've always had a soft spot for indoor track because like the crowd is so involved in it because they're so close and contained. And, you know, particularly for those pro races, they were bringing out all the stops, you know, check out the giant Go Joe sign that somebody brought to the finish line. That was a great addition. But yeah, the atmosphere was super fun. And it really felt like, at least for me, you know, since I wasn't at Houston in person or anything, like it kicked off 2023 in terms of, you know, the season really being underway in such a positive way.
It seemed like the evening was just kind of just building. I mean, like the BC kid who broke 4 was like the first time it got loud. And then it would get loud when Yared runs 7:28 to run the American to break the American record. Drew Bosley breaks the collegiate record 7:36 in the same race. And so then from there, the 5K was everything that people were waiting for, and it delivered. Woody Kincaid 12:51 for the victory with a monster final lap. Outkicks Joe Klecker, who ran 12:54, but really made a big move with 600 meters to go. And it was something like seeing Joe labor in that final lap. Like he was just sort of, I've never seen him go to the well that deep, and an epic finish by Woody just kind of really delivered in terms of just everything that they could have asked for that night. Kyle, I guess, like what stood out to you?
Yeah, well, so first off, Ollie Hoare set the pace here and just got things going early. They came through the first 1600 in 4:11, the second in 4:08. And so, you know, kudos to him for helping out a teammate. I think coming in, especially, I mean, maybe we're partially responsible because of that workout video, but the hype was definitely on Klecker's. Like, Joe's going for a sub-13. And we haven't seen Woody, you know, we didn't see a Woody workout. So, you know, we're forgetting that Woody Kincaid is Woody Kincaid and, you know, all this hype around Joe. And look, Joe fully delivered. He ran 12:54. That's what we, you know, were, I would say, more than expecting. And that's more than Ritz said that they were expecting. On the broadcast, I thought it was like done. Like Joe just was, you know, running away with it. And then, you know, obviously at some point when you close in 26, you're going to make up some ground on people. David, when, like, did the stadium get an idea that Woody was coming?
Well, so I think there's a little bit of like an if you know, you know with Woody. And one of the things that, you know, I was looking at, I will say, you know, having that front, you know, row, literally standing on the infield perspective, the two things that I think you didn't get on the broadcast were, for starters, like Woody is not like sandbagging. Like when he, like 3 laps to go, he looks like he's hurting. He looks like his race is over. He doesn't look comfortable. Like I think there's like kind of always the assumption when someone has that kick every time that they're just like ready for it. But you would not, with 600 meters left, unless it's, you know, you just know the track record he has, pun intended, you know, you would not have expected him to get back in the race. And when Joe did open up a little gap, the thing I was looking at was just like, it wasn't enough. Like it, like the gap opened up, but it didn't become, you know, a valley. And with 200 to go, that really was like more like 300 to go when Woody started closing on him. You know, it that, especially in an indoor track, the real estate can disappear in a second. And then the other piece that I feel like is harder to see on your sort of like grainy computer screen is Joe is tying up hard. Like he still closed in, I think, like 61, 62 seconds or something. But I thought for a split second he like was going to make it 4,950 meters and then fall down. Like he was really, really struggling that last like 200. And the fact that he got across the finish line was, at least from my vantage point, not a given until he literally crossed the line.
Well, he crossed the finish line, collapsed, and then it took a while for him to get back up. I was living for the Renaissance paintings that came out of it, the meme that he became instantly. But no, again, I guess I spoke with Dathan the next day, and he was like, I've never seen him like go to the well like that. Like, that's not all that common. It, like, yes, he pushed himself in practice, but that was next level. And I guess the plus side for Joe is that now that sub 13 has kind of been top of his list of things to check off for a while now. And he can get focused now on one, the 10K coming up at the 10 in just a couple of weeks, which is going to be big for kind of getting a fast time down and then really solidifying himself as, I mean, he's already a top contender. He's the reigning US champion in it, but you know, again, keeping his stronghold on the 10K and that spot on the team for Budapest. And so he can focus on just that now. I mean, time is out the window going forward in races. I mean, it's a big weight off his shoulders. Now, the tough question that I remember someone asking Dathan, it was Weldon Johnson. I was standing next to him at the Armory. They asked Dathan, what was more impressive? Was it Yared's American record or Joe's sub 13?
And I looked, to look up the scoring table because someone asked me the same thing. I don't know if you looked up the scoring table and what they've determined is more impressive.
It seemed like Ritz was leaning, I think, a bit more towards Joe, but I mean, for I would give it to Yared just looking at the all-time list and the names that he's behind. It's Daniel Komen, Gannett Wale, Salomon Berrega, Haile Gebrselassie, Berhanu Aragawi, Yenu Alameru, Lamecha Girma, Austin Chogi, and then Yared Nuguse is number 9 on that all-time list ahead of Eliud Kipchoge. And so anytime you're above the greatest of all time, I think it's a good day. So I'm leaning Yared. And by the way, baller move unzipping his uniform.
He's a lot of face touching too. He's kind of got like the Cholima thing.
More like out of necessity than anything else. I don't know if he went he pulled a Michael Norman and went a size down, but he was basically saying in our conversation post race that it was really uncomfortable and that's why he unzipped it. So maybe go a size up in the speed suit next time. But I'll play devil's advocate and say that, you know, I think because there were just happened to be, you know, two performances ahead of him in the last couple of years that have been so impressive. It kind of puts Joe's time in like a little bit of the shade, but, you know, at least from my sort of unscientific perspective, like every year, especially in Europe, you know, you'll get like a couple guys under 7:30 or kind of around there in the 3K, like, not that it's not special, but it's not unheard of. And, you know, literally until last year, you know, sub 13 indoors was just not a thing that Americans ever had done. And so, you know, when you put that into the frame of reference, it, you know, I mean, the only thing that kind of takes the shine off is that he finished second, but, you know, it seems more uncommon to me.
Well, the tables say that 12:51 is faster than 7:28. But personally, I think I'm more impressed with Yared because we knew that Joe could run 12:54 in theory. And like, we knew that Woody could run 12:51, maybe not on that day, but at some point, you know, but Yared wasn't necessarily in a race like those guys were. Like, he was, you know, he had less help. He spent a lot of time up front in the hardest part of the race. At one point, it looked like he was dying. He was just speeding up and a 10 second personal best, right? Like, so I'm going to give the nod to Yared for even more impressive in theory, even if the tables say otherwise.
I put this in the newsletter recap, but it's worth noting. He closed his last 1600 in 356.9. Like
running start.
Oh yeah, okay.
Sea level.
But still pretty friggin' nuts in terms of, you know, just the combination of strength and speed that takes.
The thing that always happens at these meets is you lose track of how fast everyone behind them is also running.
Right.
And like, you know, we're so focused on Woody and Joe. Their OAC teammate, Jonas Reyes, ran 13:10. Dylan Jacobs from Tennessee, still in college, ran 13:11, set the American collegiate record. Ben Flanagan ran 13:11. I feel for Ben a little bit here because he was just outside the standard, and I feel like Ben's always just outside the standard in order to make the world team. But 13:11 in January, a very good sign for him. Mike Foppen, I believe that was the Dutch national record. Sam Parsons, 13:12, that was the German national record. So like going all the way down the line, it just really, really impressive performances. And the 3K, very similar in that regard. Sam Atkin ran the British record 7:31. Mario Garcia ran a
I want to give a shout out to Sam Atkin because he had maybe the funniest and best like post-race vibe of anyone I talked to that day, because he was bummed. He wanted the European record. Like he broke Mo Farah's British record in the 3K, and he's like, oh man, I was so close to the British. Like you'd think he had like had a terrible day out in the track the way he was talking about it. And like, that just tickled me so much. Cause that, I mean, that's talk about a winner's attitude. He wanted more and ran incredibly.
Really quick. Let's touch on the Lilac Grand Prix, that also took place on Friday night. It was some quality racing, nothing, I guess, like it's so hard to follow up BU, but we had Cole Hawker open up. He won the 3K in 7:51. Sinclair Johnson won the 1500 in 4:08. Amos Bartelsmeyer, making his debut for the Union Athletics Club, won the 1500 in 3:39. Noah Cabet, Union Athletics Club debut as well, 1:46 for the 800 win. And then Kayla Edwards in the 800, 2:01. So it was a strong showing for the Union Athletics Club at the Lilac Grand Prix, which is cool to see because it was the homie that they hosted. And then the next day, really kind of, it was funny. Dathan caught like a 5 a.m. flight to head to New York and got to the Armory in time for his athletes to the female side of OAC to take their shot at some fast times. And Alicia Monson was the first one to really get it started, goes wire to wire in the mile, wins in 4:23 for number 8 on the U.S. all-time list. Whitney Orton, giving her quite a bit of a battle in that last lap, ends up second in 4:23 for number 9 on the U.S. all-time list. And the collegiate record fell at the hands of Caitlin Toohey with a 4:24 for third place in that race. And she even admitted that, like, with 150 meters to go, the thought crossed her head. It was like, I might have a chance of winning this. But then Alicia Monson shut the door there. It was a pretty impressive performance. And then Alicia got off the track, walked past the media, and was like, I gotta do a quick cool down because I've got to come back and pace the 3K later. She probably could have just jumped into that 3K and won it as well, probably. I'm not putting anything past her. But Caitlin Toohey came into it saying the plan was to run around 4:24, was surprised when they announced that was the record. And she's got some options now, I guess, looking forward with between choosing between the mile, 3K, 5K when it comes to indoors. So and then what else happened at Dr. Sander? It was just race after race. We had Luke McCann, the Irish record holder in the K, won that race. Shanti Jackson, again, coming close to her own national high school record in 300. Ajay Wilson ended up winning the battle between her and Sage Herta in the K, and although the American record still held up. So Wilson stayed at number 2 on the all-time list. Overall, a great meet at Dr. Sander. For me, the standout performance was Ajay Wilson, I would say. I'm going to give her the nod because, like, you know, there was a lot of attention on that race, and she let it play out to the way that she was going to win this race. It was Sage sitting on Cinta as the pacer, letting her go, and Ajay sat back and was like, I know what I can run, and I'm going to hold on and sit comfortably here and then let the race come to me, and she ended up, you know, kicking her down and winning. So I was most impressed by Ashe.
So this now is bringing up something that we just forgot. And Ajay ran great. She won the race. That's what we're there for. Didn't have the fastest time of the weekend. Did not set the North American record. Where at BU, Chris, you totally glossed over the fact that Lucia Stafford ran 2:33. And I know she's Canadian, but that's not that far from here, because she looked – I only just watched the video this morning. She looked so good doing it. And I think when the fields for the Wanamaker mile came out, like – I think it was like, oh, Laura Muir, like Sinclair. And now I'm like, wait a second. 2:33 is moving. Like her sister's Canadian record is 4:19. And I'm like doing the math. I'm trying to like, you can just kind of run into a cool down that last 609 meters and maybe you might be able to get it.
So, I mean, the talk from Canada has always been that like Lucia is like got as high of a ceiling as her sister, and maybe even higher possibly. And so, I mean, none of this should come as a total shock to us, but I'm glad you highlighted that, because I would have missed it.
You would have gotten some letters from up north for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So,
yeah. And Dr. it's Sandra also, you know, I asked her after, I was like, so like, are you moving up? You know, her sister's such like a good 3K, 5K runner. And she's like, no, not at all. Like 800 mile, that's my zone. So, you know, obviously the 1K is going to be a particularly strong spot for her, but also, you know, in a way like that just makes me more excited, because, you know, you're less trying to split your kind of training between strength and speed, and you got to just absolutely send it there.
In terms of the Monson race, I do want to just say I'm feeling very good about myself, because my made up conversion, and Mac hated that I was converting things and like trying to predict. I said 4:23, 4:23.5 makes me feel very good. Although she had a much better rabbiting job in Robbie. She had to do this one very much alone from the front. So, you know, she might have another second or two in her. Whitney, I think, you know, she ran 4:04 for 1500 last year, opening up your season in 4:23. What a great way to start. But Caitlin Toohey, just, I don't know when she like rests. She had an unbelievable cross country season, runs a great December 5K. I hope she got to like a week off for Christmas or something. And just for someone who we probably don't look at as a miler, you know, she has run 4:06, but coming into this, her personal best in the mile was 4:33 from 5 years ago.
Coach Kyle, where do you put her for NCAAs?
Oh, okay. I think you just do a 5K, 3K double.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you look at the team score and see what they can do, but 5K, 3K, different days makes the most sense to me. Why screw around with prelims and getting fancy? I don't know.
I was thinking maybe DMR 3K, but they've got such a deep bench with the DMR that I feel like they don't even necessarily need her there. So
do they have a 4:08? Like, they're definitely more mile plus. I don't know. We'll have to look at the depth chart, but I would go 3K, 5K. I don't think you tried to do anything crazy and triple. We just got too long of a career.
I did speak to Coach Hennis like right after the race, and I was kind of asking her like, hey, like, how's she been training kind of leading up to this? And she's like, well, I mean, like it is. I was like, is it separate from the rest of the team? Just because like she's just so fast right now. And it's like, yeah, I mean, like, she does most of the stuff solo, but I think that there's times that she matches up with the team. And so no decision's been made yet on just exactly what she's going to commit to for the rest of the year. She's got Milrose coming up. She's going to be in the 3K there. It just also seems that like Caitlin Toohey and the Armory, like handshake emoji, like they're always going to get along. Like that's home turf for her. She's going to show out. She had her whole family there. So I'm excited for what she could run in the 3K in just a couple weeks. So
let's also, before we move on, Chris, can we shout out Drew Hunter winning the mile in 3:55
indoor PR.
You know, he's been healthy. He said he's being as conservative as he's ever been in training, trying not to overreach, just like doing what he has to do, hitting singles, that sort of thing. But this was an automatic bid for the winner to go to Wanamaker. And as Drew was running down the home stretch in my head, I was like, come on, just let Holt win. Like, let Holt get in. You're already in. But thankfully, the second I guess Holt crossed the finish line, he found out that he's in, the hometown hero, New York's team, Empire Elite's own Eric Holt, which, given his performance at USA's last year, seems just. And he's a NACAC champ.
NACAC champ, and then on top of that, like, I don't know, like, he's wanted this for so long. I've attended a couple of the Empire Elite practices in recent weeks, and that's all he's kind of been talking about, is just Dr. Sander Invitational. Like, it's all about that, trying to win it. And, like, you could tell, he went up to Tommy Nohilly right afterwards, his coach, and was, like, visibly disappointed because he didn't win. And there was, like, no guarantee that second place was going to make it. It was just sort of, like, for Eric, he had to run fast enough to prove to, you know, the people that be at Millrose games, like, that he's worth extending an invite to. And so soon after that, he got the word, and he was kind of just like walking around, and he comes up to me and he tells me, he's like, I made it. And I was like, really? And it was like, and this is like, you know, an hour or so after the meet had ended, I was like, all right, I pulled out my phone, interviewed him, put it up on our YouTube channel. And, you know, he was open. He'd been dreaming about this thing since 2010. So great to see Eric Holt get his spot at the Wanamaker mile. And he says he's going to run faster than 3:55. So, you know, anything Eric sets his mind to, he most times accomplishes. So I'm excited for that. And how about Drew Hunter, I guess, saying that he's going to focus on the 1500 this year? Like, he's not going to really dabble much in setting, you know, his hopes up too high to go for the 5K team, especially after you see what happens at something like BU. It's, I guess it could be crushing to some people to be like, what Drew said was like, on my best year, maybe I run 1305. That's still not sniffing, you know, anywhere being near the in contention for the team.
Yeah, I think for Drew, the move is looking long term, and it's not even just about like maybe making the 1500 team this year, which, you know, maybe he can. But for real, like, if he gets a healthy year of training, because he's not trying to push that mileage to squeeze in a 5K, then maybe come 24, when trying to choose the event for the Olympic trials, he's then ready to, you know, go after that sub 13 with Woody and Joe.
I also don't want to call the 1500 weak, but like, it's way more open than the 5K, just in terms of like the equitable like level that everybody's playing at. There's not, you know, a couple years ago, like, there really was two spots spoken for, you know, most years, and then you were chasing that third spot, but there could be any sort of shuffling of top three given what the field looks like for 2023. So, you know, if you're shooting your shot at the best chance, it makes a lot of sense.
All right. Elsewhere in Arkansas, we saw some more fast times thrown down there, including a world lead of 45.09 in the men's 400 from Christopher Bailey in his first ever.
It's actually not a world lead, Chris. I checked the World Athletics calendar, and that race didn't happen. So.
Oh, it didn't? Okay.
Arkansas wasn't on it again.
Okay, so
what are they doing over there? Get on it.
I know I can't swear on the City of Smag podcast, but it's so friggin' dumb.
So does Aaliyah Hobbs not become the 13th female athlete in history to break 7 seconds? Well, so hold on. I think I just saw a World Athletics graphic about, like,
she is on the all-time list, but not the 2023 list, because this is a stupid system.
Hold on a sec. Like, I think I just saw, like, Kyle, you might have to pull up, like, World Athletics' Twitter feed. They're doing, like, the thing, like, vote for athlete of the week, and it's, like, Aaliyah Hobbs is up there, and it's, like, how do they have her up for athlete of the week?
I think it doesn't count. Aaliyah is at the top of the 23 list.
Maybe they can put them on the calendar retroactively.
I think they've maybe changed.
When I checked it on Monday, she wasn't on there, so they must have put it on after the fact.
All right. She's on the list. All right, we take back what we said. All right.
I love that we've like made Kyle personally responsible for this at this point.
Kyle's the calendar master for World
Athletics. So Chris Bailey, 45.09.
World lead.
Crazy, crazy race. In a very aggressive inside pass, and then really just blew the doors open on everyone. I mean, this is now the Arkansas track is, before the BUs of the world, was like the track, but it's still, I think the bank is very, very much lined up for fast, you know, 2 to 800 meter runners, and 45.09 is now faster than he ever ran outdoors. So,
Abby Steiner, in the same vein, 50.59 for the best ever by an American in January. It's crazy. So, I mean, we saw a lot of PRs get dropped there. Who else ran really well? Anna Hall ran a lifetime best of 51.45. Talitha Diggs ran a collegiate leading 51.34. There was, yeah, Arkansas, another popular place for.
She keeps getting overshown by the other people in her races, but Shamir Little was like neck and neck with Abby at the end of that race. Like, she's having an awesome start to her year as well. So shout out to her for that.
Don't sleep on Shamir Little in the 600 at Milrose Games. She'll be up against, yes, Athing Mo and Ajay Wilson. Like, that is definitely like the headliner, but I think Shamir could play, you know, the party spoiler for everyone else. And we're working to get her on Out of the Blocks soon, so look out for that. Then also over this weekend, we had the Washington men. They had 8 guys on the same team breaking 4 minutes for the mile. As I think the funniest tweet I saw from the whole thing was David Melly, you retweeting Ben Blankenship just planting trees left and right because of all these guys. So good. I mean, really good showing. I think for that, it just... the team depth, what is that really what I think stands out the most? Or Kyle, you had a take on Joe Wascom.
Well, Joe Wascom's just very good. I mean, the take is definitely that they're deep, and Andy Powell apparently still knows how to coach middle distance runners. yeah. I mean, you had Johnny G and Sam Prakel take just a string of 8 guys, 1300 meters. So this was definitely as great of a race setup as you could probably ask for. But with that said, Joe Wascom, you know, he won NCAAs last year in 3:45. His personal best was only 3:39. He won Pac-12s in a strategic race as well. And it's like, well, look, we know he can run tactically. He ran this one well tactically, you know, getting around Faye and everything. But now that he's the third fastest NCAA miler of all time, like, he's dangerous, and he is a guy who we need to start thinking about as making teams. You were just kind of saying, like, the 1500 is sort of wide open. Well, it's like, well, we've got an NCAA 1500 meter champ who just ran 3:51. Pretty good prospect.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those people that's like, I wish they would throw him into Milrose at the last second, because like, he's another person that I think could be a really strong contender there.
I think from Andy's, and maybe he totally disagrees and they won't do it, but like, why do it? You just ran 3:51. Like, you're good. Let's get a few weeks of good training in and go win another NCAA title.
All right. I dig that. Stanford DMR, this one snuck into the, I didn't catch this result.
Someone second fastest all time, the women, but notably Roisin Willis ran 201.0, which I think is the fastest 800 split in like DMR history, which, you know, off to a great start. Juliet Whitaker, teammate, also ran a great leg on the 1200 and then came back and ran a huge personal best in the mile. I think she ran 4:33. Mm-hmm. So the duo off to a fantastic start. I think that DMR world record, it's the world record indoors for NCAA is 10:51. I'm not even Googling anything right now. I think it's 10:51.
I was gonna say, I don't think it's the world record, because I think New Balance has it from last year.
Oh yeah, sorry. So not the world
record. NCAA record.
It was
still fast.
NCAA record. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So they've had no problem adjusting to college, and they're crushing it. I think Roisin actually just got added to the Bowerman watch list. I mean, it's January, so I mean, like, it's still super early, but very cool for a freshman like that to get some recognition early on. So I think that was most of what happened this weekend. If we missed anything, you could read it in the Lap Count newsletter. We also put out a edition of the CDS Mag newsletter earlier this week as well, that kind of hit at some of the major performances of the weekend, including Keely Hodgkinson's world record in indoor world record in the 600 meters. Again,
a little afterthought.
More on that in the newsletters. All right, let's move into the New Balance Grand Prix coming up this weekend. Lots and lots of stars descending upon Boston. Most notably, I think one of the marquee races is Sydney McLaughlin, Sharika Jackson, two world championship gold medalists going head to head in a distance that is neither of their strong suits. They're going head to head in the 60, but also Aaliyah Hobbs is in that race, and we just saw what she threw down. Makia Briscoe, who's this world championship silver medalist, is in there as well. You've got a stacked men's 60 with Noah Lyles and Trayvon Bermell. Odd 500 happening with Femke Bol, but you know, we'll take it. Then we've got Grant Holloway,
the contractually obligated 500.
Well, that world record might be under threat now.
66.31. It's from 2006 by a Russian whose name I won't even take a stab at pronouncing.
But how do you run 66 flat? You come through in 52 and run a 14.0.
Yeah. That sounds right. That math adds up.
Sure.
Probably how you do it. You can do that.
The Battle of the Bowerman Award winners. We got Grant Holloway, Trey Cunningham in the 60. Laura Muir and Kira McGeehan will go head-to-head in the 3K. You've got Woody Kincaid fresh off of that 5K American record as a late entry in the 3K, the men's 3K. Katie Moon, a.k.a. Katie Najat, and Katerina Stefaniti, the two most recent Olympic champions in the pole vault, are also dueling. I like this rematch we're getting between Mariano Garcia from Spain and Bryce Hoppel. That was, I think, one of the races that really stood out to me last year. Came as a shocker. This was a real coming out party for Spain on Staten Island last year. And then what else we've got? We got Ellie Baker versus and Lindsay Sharp against Ajay Wilson in the 800.
Woody's back in the 3K.
What was that?
Woody's back in the 3K.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned that. Late oh, add yeah, I to missed that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, what is the event you are looking forward to the most, Kyle?
I mean, I think that Noah Lyles matchup versus Trayvon Bermell is going to be very nice. And then also some other interesting names in there. One that really stands out, Terrence Laird.
Yeah,
he's back, baby. He had a strong opener a couple of weeks ago. I mean, do not forget how quick he was a couple of years ago at NCAAs. I mean, he was running the NCAA, like just complete control. And so, you know, it's been a couple of years, but it seems like he's in good form. And so, you know, I don't think he's going to necessarily mix it up with Trayvon and Noah. I don't see him winning, but I am just interested to see what his progression is and if it signals that maybe we have a new 200 meter contender come the outdoor season.
That would be interesting. And I guess, like, I think the important thing to remember sort of is I've seen a little bit of online talk about, like, why are some top stars running indoors and, like, it's too early to be really pushing themselves and running too fast. And you're like, you know, we don't see as many Jamaicans running indoor races. And so, like, they'll be there when it counts. And it's sort of like, I don't know, I think indoors is a great way to test some new things out. And I think what we saw last year in particular with Noah was he was using the 60 as a way to work on, you know, the first block, first, you know, 6 seconds of his 200. And it worked out. I mean, in the 100 and the 200, of just getting out hard. And so, you know, you do have these pros learning and taking different things from the from these early season performances. So I'm most intrigued for the men's 800. Like we said before, Mariano Garcia versus Bryce Hoppel. I think last year it didn't look like Bryce enjoyed losing. And then it also happened at the World Indoor Championships. So I think Bryce is coming into this one hungry, and I think he wants to win it, even though it is just an early season matchup. I think Bryce wants this one.
I the thing I'm most excited for is just how many people are going to be there, because it's
sold out.
I had someone who was trying to backdoor their way to getting some tickets and they couldn't get in. It is going to be a crazy atmosphere. I mean, we were there last year for the DMR that I had blacked out on, apparently. But no, I remember it, and it was very loud. And that wasn't even like a full professional track meet. I think it's going to be a really special experience and something you were saying indoor, like you just can't replicate it sometimes outdoors, or at least not as easily. I think if you have a fringe running fan and you want to get them into the sport, like bringing them to a track meet like this or Milrose is how you do it.
I will also say I'm so excited to watch Grant Holloway race, because Grant Holloway in the 60 hurdles is like a match made in heaven, and he hasn't lost in God knows how long, like 5 years or something at this point. But the one of the ones that we didn't mention that is worth mentioning is some of the folks who ran pretty fast this weekend are coming back in the women's mile. We're going to get Lucia Stafford, Heather McLean, and then Gemma Reiki, who's always good at throwing down in those races. So that should be a fun one as well.
I think now that I think about it, the event that I might be looking forward to the most could be the high school boys mile. Cause like,
oh my God. Yes. Run down the names and personal best of this, Chris. It is.
Yeah. I've got to pull it up, but it's like Aaron Salmon, but you got both the juniors who are now seniors in Simeon Birnbaum and Connor Burns, who broke four last year, two of the five guys who did it last year. Then in addition to that, you've got Devin Kipyego, who's sitting right there at four flat. Aaron Salmon, who is the NXN champion, also like a four flat 401 guy. Rocky Hansen, Cole Matheson. So it's like all the heavy hitters are just like, all right, we're probably going to go head to head at New Balance Indoor Nationals, but let's take the temperature of where we're at right now. And interestingly enough, yes, the attention is okay. Maybe we get another sub four high school guy, but I did see the tweet from Gary Martin, our very own, who was like, it's January. Like, this is maybe not the right time for these high school kids to run sub four. Maybe we're closer to a 401, 402 race, but still, I think like it's setting up. I like this about the high school kids is that they have no problem going head to head any given weekend. And, you know, check ego at the door. The winner of this race may be different than the winner of New Balance Indoor Nationals and the winner of New Balance Outdoor Nationals. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing where these guys are at, because like we said, we're sitting at 17 high school boys who have broken 4 minutes for the mile. We're only going to make three more graphics on the City of Smag Instagram account. Like, if you are number 21, I'm sorry. Like, we've stopped. We're going to stop recognizing the high school sub four. It's going to be no longer.
We're like World Athletics. We're just choosing not to recognize it anymore.
That's why these kids are doing it. They want to get a graphic on.
They
got to
get the graphic and the collab tag, right? Exactly. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the high school boys race probably as like one of the sneakily, just like one of the last events announced, going to be pretty fast. So that is New Balance Indoor Nationals. I mean, New Balance Indoor Grand Prix. There's so much. We're going to be there for two whole weekends over the next 2 months. So, all right, let's head into our buy or sell segment. Kyle, start us off. What are you buying this weekend?
How much currency do I have? Because I actually, I've decided I'm buying two things.
Okay.
First, I'm going to buy Betsy Sena, you know, the former NCAA champ out of Iowa State. She's back. She won the Seville half marathon in 68:25. And, you know, a lot of talk about who's going to make this Olympic marathon team. A lot of people leaving her off their list because maybe they forgot that in 2021, she became eligible to represent the United States, and she's run 2:22 and she has run 14:39 for 5K. She is very strong. She's very fast. She is now a mother and she's fit already. So that's my first buy.
Okay.
And then my second buy is Nicholas Harbor.
Our boy. This is like four straight weeks of us. Coffee Club talks about Mike Smith and Jakob Ingebrigtsen every week. We talk about Nicholas Harbor every week.
Going to South Carolina, go Gamecocks. I should put on my hat. So, you know,
I don't know if you saw
this. I'm going to ask a dumb question to somebody who doesn't follow this. Is he going to play both football and track?
Yeah, that was like the whole point. And like when you look at the list of schools that he came down to, Michigan was on there. And it's like all these schools that like have good programs in both. But I will say, like, Oregon with a very last second sort of push to really try and convince him to go there. They brought him out to Oregon, showed him around the football stadium, showed him around Hayward Field, had this whole photo shoot. I am, Kyle, we're on the same page here. We're out on like the recruiting photo shoots. Like,
done. I'm out on it. It's too much.
Well, so here.
The whole thing is too much. Like, they're freaking high schoolers. Like,
I think it's okay to like have the photo ready for like when you commit to that school.
No, I want bad Photoshop jobs only. That's part of the charm.
But it's the here. Imagine me in like, I'm wearing an Iowa State uniform this day. The next day I'm wearing Notre Dame. And then the next week I'm wearing South Carolina. Like, it's just sort of like,
I want a grainy cell phone photo your mom took of you in a shirt from the campus store behind a folding table in your gymnasium. That is what high school commitment photos should be. None of this full photo shoot nonsense.
That's the Ivy League experience, David. Sorry, bud.
No, the Ivy League, you don't even get a photo shoot. Yeah, you don't care.
All right, David, what are you buying?
Oh, man, I'm buying these pros running their off distances. I think it's so fun. Like, if Abby Steiner runs a 200, you know what's going to happen. Like, she's going to win. Like, that's not exciting. Like, it, you know, but, and she's in a 300. I'm so excited to see what she does this weekend. You know, Sharika Jackson in the 60, like, that's going to be awesome. I love, you know, we're going to get a lot of people running their specialty events in July and August. And right now, like, that's the beauty of the indoor season. Like, show me some pros running their off distance.
Vernon Norwood, this is your call to action. You're done with the four. You're moving up to the eight. He told us he was going to run an 800 in 145, and this was an opportunity.
I want to see Grant Holloway make a return to the 400. He notched some pretty darn fast splits at Florida back in the day. Like, let's see some flat racing, you know?
Last year, I think he ran like 44 flat or something.
Yeah.
I've got an update on Vernon Norwood because he actually messaged me. He's like, is Sidious Mag going to be at New Balance Indoor Grand Prix? I said, yes, of course we are. And then he was like, awesome, can't wait. And then I said, wait, are you running the 800 as promised? 145, right? And he goes, LOL, nah, I was just joking. And so he's out. He's out on the 800. He was just leading us on. So
can we contact the meet organizers and get some stuff moved around?
Yeah. I'm buying Aaliyah Hobbs stock. I just really like the way that she looked this weekend. I think she could pull off a major upset, you know, against Sharika Jackson and Sydney McLaughlin in that. I mean, that's definitely the headline, but there's just something. I had the chance to sit down and talk to her last year at USA's the day before she ended up finishing second in the 100. And like, I just like, you know, she's been so under the radar for so long. I think Jasmine and Caitlin are working to try and get her for a longer interview type of for their podcast, which would be fantastic just because, like, I, you know, she's on the quieter side for sure of, like, you know, the top stars that doesn't, you know, you see them out on the track for 10 seconds. And in many cases, that's about it. That's all you know. And so Aaliyah Hobbs has a really compelling story. She's been through a bunch of injuries. And so this road back that she's taken to get to this point, I think I'm excited for what the season holds for her, like potential U.S. outdoor 100 meter, you know, medal contender, I would say. So I'm buying stock in Aaliyah Hobbs now.
I would say, like, none of us are super in-depth sprint experts, but from what I was seeing on Twitter after this weekend, a lot of people were saying, you know, she's doing something different. She looked on another level with that. You know, people are talking about, sorry, I can't like ascribe sources to this, but like people are like, oh, she's going to run under 10.7, no problem. You know, people are very hype on not just how fast she's running, but how good she looked doing it. So I, if you're buying, I'm co-signing that loan.
All right. Now let's move to sell. Kyle, what are you selling?
All right. So this is a buy in the sell. We're arbitraging or something. I don't know. So I'm going to buy the Dina Asher-Smith British 60 meter record that she set in Karlsruhe.
Okay.
You know, but at what cost? Because Asha Philip, the former British record holder in the event, was DQ'd now twice so far this indoor season.
For and the Devin Allen rule, basically.
It's basically the Devin Allen rule. So you watch the races, and she's not false starting. Like, she just has an unbelievably quick reaction time. And in going to, you know, I was looking at all ends of like the German internet, trying to figure out what the reaction time was in this.
They have different wires over there.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out what it was because visually she did not false start, but I stumbled on a Let's Run thread that JC100 posted about. And apparently she has the fastest average reaction time across any athlete, like in modern time. Like she averages 0.127 seconds and 0.100 is kind of the cutoff mark. So like we know she reacts really quickly to the gun. Like we have historical data to back it up. So what I'm suggesting is not that we even get rid of this rule entirely, which we can, but like, let's get a blood passport thing going. Like, let's see what your levels are at historically. And when you go and you do a performance, that's kind of like out of the ordinary. Well, like, so is all of your other reaction times. So maybe, just maybe, she's a superhero and we should stop punishing people for hearing things better than we do.
I like that. Good stuff. In that similar vein, what I'm selling, the aforementioned Devin Allen. I'm selling Devin Allen jerseys. Like, I know that there's a shortage out there.
It's my joke. Fanatics.
I know it's your joke, but... I'm selling Devin Allen jerseys, make some money because they're on the resale market, they're hot right now. So
I've got 6,000 of them.
Yeah. What number is he anyway?
He should be
whatever it is.
You're asking the wrong crowd.
But also actually another feel-good story if you want to buy something is Jasmine Camacho Quinn's brother, Robert Quinn, is also on the Eagles. And so if you're looking for the team with more track ties to root for on Super Bowl Sunday, you got to root for the Eagles, I guess. And that's coming from a New Yorker. Our Empire State Building was in Eagles colors the other day, so I don't know what's happening. David, what are you selling?
All right. I might make him an enemy out of Michael Johnson with this one, but I'm selling complaining about people running fast. Like I saw a lot of chatter this weekend about all these time trials, these records, like we want to see racing, you know, none of this, like just running fast for the sake of running fast. I'm like, did you watch the races? Like Klecker versus Woody was a race. There was three women within like an elbow of each other in Tui's race. Like these people are, first of all, it's like, we're getting records because people are racing each other early in the season head to head and fast times are coming out of it. Why are you mad about that? And then also it's just like, I think there's this false dichotomy between like, oh, something is either a like set up time trial record attempt and it's boring and, or it's like an exciting head to head race. Like you can absolutely have both in the same place. And, you know, aside from that, there's this like narrative that like, oh, like times don't matter. I want to see racing. I'm like, it's exciting watching people run fast. It's exciting seeing, you know, the clock is at, you know, 12:53 or 11:53 with 400 to go, knowing they got to close in sub 60 to get the record. Like, I think you need all kinds. Like the beauty of track is that you get different kinds of races and that's what keeps you engaged and excited. But like, not like no more complaining about people like setting records. It's good. It's fun to watch. It's exciting. Like don't like you get your, you know, fighting for the medals later in the year, but this time of year, like it keeps people engaged and it keeps people excited.
David, if we get rid of complaining from track and field,
what is there?
What happens?
Yeah. Me complaining about people complaining. That's clip from the episode. But yeah, I don't know. It's like as like just like something, you know, just have a positive opinion once in a while.
All right. Inside Sidious Mag, what else we got going on? We had Chrissy Schofield on the Sidious Mag podcast. Really fun interview. First ever podcast that she's done. I love the quote that she had where it's like running is not that deep. And it's apparently like the team New Balance motto, because we also put out a video produced by Matt Parker, who spent some time with them out in Flagstaff, Arizona. So that is now on our YouTube channel. And then we've got an episode of Run Your Mouth with Erica Kemp that came out in the past couple days. So check that out. The lap count celebrated its 100th lap. So if you haven't read it yet, go to thelapcount.com to read that. And we'll be in Boston this upcoming weekend. Sidious Mag turns 6 years old.
I was gonna say, yeah, Friday, this is 100 lap counts. Happy birthday, February 3rd. Sidious.
Yeah,
January 31st.
I pushed back on the 6 year old Sidious thing.
Yeah, you're more of like it's 2 years old, but
we started
it wasn't
when I
real
got
till
here.
Kyle got there. Yeah,
yeah.
It's 5 years of Run Your Mouth was Tuesday, so this is a big week of birthdays for the Sidious Mag family.
I saw in Walt Murphy's Day That Was that 15 years ago was Milrose. So we all have big anniversaries.
And last thing from inside Sidious Mag, Gary Martin had a tree planted in the Endless Mileage Forest, and also 2 second PR. So congrats to Gary on that. In the, what did he run? The 800. He ran 150.
I still. Gary, if you're listening, you're on my shit list, because I messaged him asking for the splits from his DMR the other week, and he did not get back from me. Does anyone know? Anyone know? What
better
split?
On Slack. You got to Slack him.
What do you run, Kyle?
253.6 or something.
Oh, and his coach told him, I think, something about you, right?
But I split back in the day. So
gotcha. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. We will bring you updates and more this weekend from Boston. If you see us there, say hello, and we'll catch you guys again next week.